Blog Talk Radio.
Something from this show, and if you have a question or a comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat, as this is a fruit bat free program. You are listening to Black by Color Only. Everybody, welcome to the show. Oh, let me take care of some business here. Welcome to the show today. Hope today finds you doing well. If you'd like to be a guest, call into the number or call into the show, excuse me. That number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And please be reminded of the aforementioned curse of the fruit bat. If you are a person who likes to indulge in excessive profanity, character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, the random insults, and just disrupting people's radio programs, I will assure you, you will have a short time on this program. Okay? You don't have to agree with me or disagree with me. Just be mature in your interactions on this program. Whether you have a question or a comment, make sure you do it in a mature fashion, and we can, you know, engage in a mature conversation, you know, because some people don't like to be mature. They think they can talk over you, and they think they make a point by yelling at you and insulting you, and they think that's a way to make a point with you. That's not going to happen here. If you think that's a reason why to, if you think that's a good reason to get your point across, then you need to go somewhere and learn how to be a human being. Okay. But anyway, I'm doing the show a little later today. I know some of you all are, you know, wondering why I'm doing the show late. My wife and I, we just purchased a new stove, and they said the time was going to be between 3 o'clock and 7 o'clock. When they brought our stove. So they brought our stove in, you know, my wife is cooking on it right now. And, you know, that's why I pushed the show up to a later time. So, but, you know, that's not going to happen too often. Before I go into the show, I'd like you all to, if you have any questions or comments that you want to give me, I don't care if you're on live or you're listening in the archives, you can contact me at truesharkstv@gmail.com. That's right. That's my email. And I would invite you to check out my blog, blackbycoloronly.com. And this week I had to chastise myself on my blog because it's been a while since I've put anything up on the blog. And I said, I don't want this thing to die. And earlier this year, I had checked out how many post I put on my blog last year, and I didn't put up anything last year. And I said, you know what? I don't want to do that again. I want to, you know, start posting these stories and whatever. And I've already put more stories on the blog this year than I did for last year. But I kind of, you know, slid a little bit and whatever. And, you know, I'm trying to get back to, you know, putting a post on there on the regular, because I really don't want that post to die. I don't want that blog to die. So, but anyway, I wanted to talk about two stories, and you all probably familiar with them and whatever, because these two stories have been, you know, have been two of the more popular stories hitting the airwaves this week. And the first story has to do with a young lady named Carly Russell, 25 years old. And, well, the story goes like this. Carly Russell was driving, I think it was outside of Birmingham. It's a highway outside of Birmingham. I'm somewhat familiar with that area. She was driving her car on a freeway, and she notices a toddler on the side of the street, on the side of the road. So she stops her car, calls 911, and during that time, she gets abducted. And 48 hours later, she just happens to show up on her parents' front door. You know, they say she was traumatized. They took her to the hospital, had her checked out, you know, and everything. And they're saying, you know, everybody, you know, let's wait for her to overcome, you know, her ordeal in order to, you know, get out what really happened to her. And I'm glad the girl is safe. I'm glad the girl is safe. But not long after she was deemed safe, little questions started to pop up about whether this young lady actually went through the ordeal that she says she went through. Now, the story goes like this. She was abducted. She saw the kid, stopped her car, check out the kid, you know, and she was abducted by someone, taken to an 18-wheeler, and she was taken to some house or something, and they told her, they blindfolded her, and they told her to take off all her clothes, and they were taking pictures of her, and somehow she escaped. She ran into the woods, and when she came out of the woods, she just so happened to be in the neighborhood where her parents live. And that's the story she's going by. And when people started questioning this girl's story, there were some people on Twitter, I think on Facebook too. When people started questioning her story, they were like, you know, people were like, okay, well, if you are questioning this girl's story, then you must be a racist. You must be a racist. And now, you all remember several months ago, Joy Reid was belly aching about why they don't make national news out of a missing black person or anything like that. You know, they called it missing white woman syndrome, because if it's a white person, they'll display it across the country. They'll broadcast it across the country. But a black person, oh, nothing to see here. Okay, well, this girl's disappearance was broadcast across the country. And now, because folks, you got to understand something. When you see a story like this or whatever, people are going to ask questions. And I don't see anything wrong with that. And my thing is, you know, the apostles of blackness are never satisfied with anything. So her case made national news. She's found to be safe. People are asking, they're questioning her whereabouts during that 48 hours she was missing. And now people are like, oh, that's racist. People, come on with this stupid mess. Y'all, come on, please. Now, our good old buddies at the Root, which I think that's an incomplete name for that site. It should be called the Root of All Evil. But our buddies at the Root, they decided to, you know, do an article about it because the journalists at the Root are just on top of their game. They are the best journalists in the world. I say that to be sarcastic. But they put up an article called Five Crazy Internet Theories on Carly Russell's Disappearance. And says Carly Russell's parents spoke out for the first time and said their online disputes on their daughter's alleged abduction are just disturbing. Why are they disturbing? People are trying to make heads and tails of what really happened. And the story that's coming out, it doesn't make sense. So why is this disturbing? But let me go on. In the first public appearance since Carly Russell's mysterious return, her parents told NBC News Today about their relief in having their daughter home again. However, they also urged the public to stop speculating what happened to Carly until the investigation closes. This was a public broadcast. This was broadcast across the country. You know, so people are just going to do that, you know. They're just going to do that. Now, I do believe that after a situation like this, a person should be allowed to, you know, to regain their composure or whatever, you know, because something like this can be traumatic, you know. But that doesn't mean that people cannot ask questions. Says Russell, 25, went missing July 13th after calling 911 to report a missing toddler walking on the side of Interstate 459. However, when the Hoover police arrived, they found Russell's car still running with the door open and some of her belongings, including her purse and phone. Saturday evening, her parents called the police to report that she had returned home by foot. The lack of details about what happened in those 48 hours Russell was gone has sent social media into an absolute and quite absurd frenzy. I don't see what's so absurd about that. They're trying to piece together because the story doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. And people are trying to piece together how this happened, you know, and everything. The story just doesn't make sense. Suddenly, this Alabama woman, wait a minute. I don't know what happened there. Okay. Suddenly, this Alabama woman we know barely anything about has been contorted into an attention-seeking liar. Here are the crazy claims and what we know. Now, let me tell you this. Nobody on both sides know what's happened, including these people at the Root. They're like, oh, y'all calling this girl a liar. Y'all calling her a liar. Well, how do you know that she is not a liar? You don't know what happened. Do you know exactly what happened? Now, I haven't heard people call her a liar. I've heard people say this is a possible hoax or that she's possibly lying. But they said that they would correct themselves and say, well, that's just, you know, that's just what we see here. We don't have all the information, but this looks like a hoax. People have a right to say that. But see, what the Root is really doing without saying it is trying to say all these people questioning this beautiful black queen about her whereabouts in those 48 hours, it's got to be racist. That's basically what they're saying without saying it up front. And they give five reasons why these, you know, allegations are absurd. So number one, it says faked abduction. And from the evidence that I've seen, there is evidence this may be a faked abduction. It says, y'all, people immediately jumped the gun to assume this entire story of her being abducted is made up and just a ploy for attention. Simply because of the lack of information, the public concluded Carly fabricated a story of her abduction, but with an unspecified motive. Once again, they're acting like they know what happened to this girl. You know, y'all just questioning her because she's black. That's basically what they're saying without saying it. First of all, Carly Russell has not yet spoken publicly about the incident since her return home. Yeah. So how do you know that people are lying? You don't know that. Her mother, Talitha, told NBC News she believes her daughter was abducted. The Hoover Police Department has not specified if the case is being investigated as in abduction. And since then, the police are saying this does not look like an abduction. But see, here's the root, jumping to conclusions about people jumping to conclusions. They're doing the very same thing that they do. Let a black person get apprehended by a police officer, fight the cop and everything, and the cop shoots the person dead. They'll jump to conclusions and say, oh, that police officer was a racist. So they're doing the very same thing that they accuse other people of themselves. Hey there, Retta. I got to get my Cousin Coon t-shirts out. You know, I got to make up my Cousin Coon t-shirts. But this is the very thing. They're over here talking about people jumping to conclusions about what happened to this girl. But the very people who call themselves journalists at the root, they do the very same. And not only that, they don't realize they have jumped the gun themselves by calling people liars. You don't know what happened to that girl either. And just because someone is questioning what happened to her does not mean that they are lying. Number two, mental illness. The public speculates that Carly's disappearance was a result of a mental health crisis, hallucinations, or even psychotic paranoia. The Russells have not suggested anything about her mental health besides her not being in a good state the night she returned home, per NBC. They also said she is mentally traumatized by what happened when she was gone. Okay, but that's what they're saying. We don't have confirmation that she's actually going through trauma. Through some type of trauma. That's what her boyfriend said, and that's what her parents are saying. But we don't know that. We're just going by their word. Number three, there was no baby. Twitter users have gotten a kick out of suggesting Carly never even saw a toddler to begin with, specifically because they can't see any figures in the traffic camera video. Their claims have been fueled by various news outlets who interviewed human trafficking experts that suggested children are not used as a ploy to kidnap people. The police department saw no signs of a child upon arriving to the scene, but what Carly told 911 the night she vanished has not been disputed otherwise. Okay, so my wife and I, we saw the video of her car when she supposedly stopped on the side when she saw the toddler. I didn't see a toddler. And it was pitch black outside. And she had her headlights on. I don't know if she had her high beams on, but she had her headlights on. And I didn't see a toddler. And not only that, she continued to cruise for another half a mile. Now, if you see a toddler on the side of the road, she said it was a white male toddler in a t-shirt and a diaper. Now, when I heard white male toddler, I was like, uh-oh, okay. White male toddler. That just raised a red flag with me. But we saw the video, and if you see a toddler on the side of a road, and this highway looked to be kind of busy, you're going to be really concerned about that toddler, because that toddler could wander off into the traffic and get killed. You're not going to continue driving down the road another half a mile. That's what people are questioning. Why did you drive down the road another half mile after you supposedly seen this toddler on the side of the road? And not only that, now that, you know, she's gotten home safe and whatever, nobody's asking questions about who that toddler was. Or at least I haven't heard anything. All right, let's go on to number four. Drug abuse. Social media users claim that she dropped out of nursing school and started abusing drugs. The police department, hospital, and Russell's family have not confirmed any results from the testing done the night she was found and taken in for evaluation. Jefferson State Community College has not disclosed if she dropped out of their nursing program, but referred to her as a student in a Facebook post about her discipline. Now, I don't know about the drug use or anything like that, but if this story turns out the way it seems to be headed, I would question if she was on drugs. But we don't have all the information. But these people at the root, they seem to think that they're on top of it, because we's black people. We's always going to look out for our black brothers and sisters, our queens and our kings. So y'all don't know what you're talking about. We know. And number five, the Gone Girl theory. Some random Facebook user named Sharon posted screenshots of messages claiming Carly tried to pull a Gone Girl and get back at her boyfriend for cheating on her with a stripper. They claim she checked into the Red Roof Inn for the 2 days she was gone. One TikTok user even pulled images, what is allegedly her Instagram page, showing a dispute with the alleged side piece. The police said Carly's belongings, including her purse and phone, were left at the scene. It's unclear if her identification or credit cards were also left behind. Russell's boyfriend, Tomar Latrell Simmons, has not addressed these allegations, but did address those claiming he had something to do with her disappearance. People have either advocated for her privacy and silence or claimed they are entitled to her unpacked trauma because their tax dollars contributed to the search. I don't know where they got that from. I don't think anyone said, you know, we's taxpayers. We want to know what happened to her. It says, at the end of the day, Carly will speak out if or when she's ready. If the investigation finds she was snatched up, she'll have a hefty defamation suit for everyone who dragged her name before she could even speak up for herself. I don't think she's being defamed. People want to know what happened. Now, we're seeing your story, but some things just don't add up. So that's why people are going to question. This does not add up. Where was the toddler? Who was the toddler? How is it that you escaped from this house, so to speak? You ran through the woods, and when you got out of the woods, you just so happened to be in your neighborhood. How come you didn't tell the police, hey, that's the wood, that's the direction from where I ran? How long were you in the woods? People have a right to ask those questions. But no, she's a black queen, so y'all don't have any reason, you all don't have any right to question her integrity. But that's what we're going to do. That's what folks are going to do, because things are just not adding up. Now, when I first heard that it was a white male toddler on the side of the road that she saw, it just, you know, red flags just went off in my head. White male toddler. Okay, she sees a white male toddler on the side of the road. She stops to check on this toddler, and then she gets abducted by a white man. Sounds like a little Susan Smith type of thing going on here, you know. I'm not saying anything. I don't know. I mean, I'm suspicious too. I don't know if what happened to her or whatever. I don't know. But see, this is why we don't jump to conclusions on things like this. But even then, people do have a right to question the situation based on the information that they are getting from this case. They have that right. And just because this girl is a black girl does not mean no one has the right to question her on what happened to her during that 48 hours. It's like when a black person gets traumatized, oh, hands off, kid gloves. But I can guarantee you, if this had been a white woman and she saw a black toddler on the side of the road, same story unfolded, people would be like, well, where was this toddler? This story doesn't add up. And I don't care if your skin color is black, white, olive, whatever. Either situation, you have a right to question this. And people are going to. That's just the nature of the beast. People are going to question this based on the information that they got. There was, they said she had some Cheez-Its or something in her car. And she said when she was abducted and taken to the house and, they fed her some cheese crackers. Kind of coincidental. I mean, now, how she got away, I don't know, because homegirl is kind of thick. Homegirl kind of thick. And I'm pretty sure the average person probably would have caught up with her if she, ran out and ran through the woods or something like that. I'm pretty sure someone could have caught her. I'm just saying, I'm looking at the evidence too. I'm looking at the evidence too. But the apostles of blackness have this collective, how dare you question this beautiful black queen? How dare you question her integrity? Would you be making the same statement if the girl had been a white girl? I don't think so. But, it's kind of like a soap opera. We'll see on the next episode. We'll see what's going on the next episode. We'll see how this turns out. But it's not looking for homegirl. And people are already comparing this to Jussie Smollett and Bubba Wallace. And I'll dare say Crystal Mangum as well. Now, I'm just saying, folks. But this hands off, she's black, Other than that, all bets are off. That we need to get rid of that mindset. That's how divided we've become as a country. We think race and politics defines everything that goes on in this country, and it does not. But let me take you to another story. I think that's all I have to say about that one. And you can criticize me or say whatever you want to about that. But let me go on to this other story. Now, this is another story. And, of course, it's another story. Good gracious. here's another story about another beautiful black queen. Here we go, another story. And this story is in the root too. It says, you won't believe why this black woman, they can't just say woman. They have to say black woman stuck in a Dubai prison. Tierra Allen, a Houston truck driver and influencer, has been detained for over 2 months in Dubai for screaming in public. And yeah, I will have to give one to the root on this one. I think that's erroneous, you know. I think that's a crazy reason to lock someone up. But that's the law in their country. And see, Dubai is a Muslim-run country. Dubai is in the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East. And if you all know anything about Islam or whatever, Muslims do not respect women. They do not respect women. Their religion doesn't respect women. When a Muslim child is born, if it's a boy, it's greeted with celebration. If it's a girl, it's greeted with shame. And why people don't go against, why I don't hear a lot of people speaking up against the Islam religion and how they treat women and how they disrespect women, it boggles my mind. I actually saw a few years ago a group of women. They were out there trying to, you know, yes, we must support the Muslim. We must support the Muslim. And then they went off singing the Muslim call to prayer. I say, yeah, you can do that here in this country. Try doing that in the Middle East, in an Arab country. And I think it's crazy that Muslims think that way about women, because they are highly disrespectful against women. We all heard about the female genital mutilation. I'm not going to go into detail about that. I remember seeing a video of a Muslim wedding, and they were at the reception and whatever, and they were surrounded by their guests and whatever. And I think the woman said something to the bride said something to the groom that he didn't like. He slapped her. He slapped her right there at the reception in front of all the guests. None of the guests came in and said, "Hey, dude, what are you doing? You don't slap no woman like that." They were like, "Okay, she must have said something to disrespect him." If I was a father at that wedding, I would have pounded that man into ground beef. I'm giving you my daughter, and this is how you treat her. You ain't even been married to her for 30 seconds, and you over here slapping her? Oh, no, dude. Let me take you outside right quick. But nobody did anything. That's how they respect women in the Middle East, in these Muslim countries. And those of us on the left, basically, for the most part, we are so naive. We think that when we go over there, we can just, oh, okay, we'll just do whatever and everything. You know, hey, yeah, these Muslims, they're our brothers. Just because you agree with us doesn't mean that we still don't see you as an American and that you are a citizen of the great Satan. That's what they call the U.S., the great Satan. So this gal, Tiara Allen, she's trucking. I guess she's doing trucking over there in the United Arab Emirates in the city of Dubai. And she's riding as a passenger in a vehicle, and a vehicle gets involved in an accident. And Tiara was just the she was the passenger. And so I think the person who owned the car, I'm not, you know, I don't have everything together about, you know, who's renting what or whatever. But I believe the person who was driving the car was the person who was renting the car, got involved in an accident. They went back to the rental place to get her belongings, her credit cards, her passport and everything. And they said, well, you can get it, you know, if you pay this price. Now, I don't know what the price was. you know, her mother here in the state said they charged her an exorbitant amount of money for her to get her stuff back. I don't know how much money that was, but she and, you know, the person at the rental car place, they got into an argument and she started screaming. They called the police on her and now she's been in jail for 2 months. Yes, I do think that is ridiculous. I do. But here's the thing people need to understand. We all remember Brittany Griner. We all remember Brittany Griner when she got caught with the oil, the hashish oil in Russia. And, you know, she was being threatened with 9 years of prison. Of course, she's back, you know, she's back safe here in the U.S. And, of course, she got a new respect for the U.S. because before then, she didn't want to stand for the national anthem. Now she's standing for the anthem. I don't understand people when they go to these countries, how they think they can carry on business like they do in the United States. I don't understand it. When you go to another country, they have a whole new set of rules. Yes, you might not agree with them. And I would tell people, if you don't agree with their rules over there, don't go to that country. Because here in the United States, you scream at the owner of a rental car place, you'll probably get off with a slap on the hand. Homegirl been in jail for 2 months. Things are different over there. And like I said, I do think it's ridiculous, but that's their law. And I could probably imagine her getting up in the man's face, doing that little cobra neck them ladies like to do and wagging that finger and going on with the ghetto rhetoric and everything. And I guess they said, someone needs to show you that you're not in your country anymore. Now, I've seen pictures of this girl. And she likes to dress in clothing that shows off her biological blessings. Let me just say that. And she should know better over there. You go over there, you know, doing that over in a Muslim-run country. But they even showed her in a burqa with a hijab on, you know, so she apparently understand you ain't supposed to be showing all your goodies, but they showed her, she's showing off her goodies and everything, and she twerking and all that crazy mess and everything, thinking you can just go over there and just continue business as usual. But of course, the people at the Roots had to say, you won't believe why this black woman is stuck in a Dubai prison. They had to emphasize that she's a black woman. Oh, we got another black queen in trouble. We need to stand up for our little black queen over here. This is preposterous. Yeah, it is, but she disobeyed their law. Let me go on into the article. I thought we were done worrying about black people being stranded overseas once Brittany Griner was released from Russian prison, but a Houston truck driver and influencer has been stranded in Dubai for the past 2 months, according to Fox 26 Houston. Her story has finally circulated after her mother spoke out to local news, signaling a cry for help to bring her daughter home. Tierra Young Allen, also known as Sassy Trucker Online, went on vacation to Dubai from March to May to visit some friends. Her mother, Tina Baxter, told Newsweek the day before the end of her trip, Allen and her friend got into a fender bender in the vehicle they rented. The damage was minimal for both vehicles involved, and the rental was fully insured. However, the incident still led to Allen's friend being detained and held in jail for a week. Baxter said her daughter was invited back to the car rental company to collect her belongings, but was told upon arrival that she had to pay a large sum of money just to retrieve her purse and ID. When Allen told the staff they were in possession of her credit cards, an employee allegedly told her to find a way to make her payment. The two got into an argument, and that's when things escalated. Read what happened next from Newsweek. As Allen argued with the man, she claims he became aggressive and started shouting at her, chasing her out of the building. She allegedly admitted to her mom that she yelled back at him because she was scared. She was afraid, of course. Yeah, that's a likely story. She was scared. She was afraid. And she was just lost at that point. She was very panicked. When she left, she used whatever money she had to take a bus back to her hotel. She didn't really know where she was. She was in panic mode and afraid, Baxter said. Oh, my daughter didn't do anything. She was scared. She, you know, we hear this all the time. I'm not saying that she wasn't, but, you know, we hear it so many times and it's proven wrong that it becomes hard to really believe these people's stories. You know, just like you cry wolf and, you know, there's no wolf. After a while, people are like, yeah, okay, whatever. It was at that point the employee raised a case against Allen with the Dubai police. Even though he initiated the screaming, even though he was trying to extort her out of money, Baxter said. Allen's mother says the incident resulted in her daughter being thrown in jail, her passport being confiscated, and also being placed on a temporary travel ban. Local activist Quanell X says her only crime was raising her voice. In that country, a female is not even allowed to raise her voice. If she raises her voice, it's punishable by jail time, he said via Fox 46. Don't punish women for doing the same thing a man can do in Dubai. It's not fair and it's not right. Yeah, it's not. It's not. It really isn't. But she should have known better. Maybe if folks here in the U.S. had taught her some manners, taught her to be respectable, even though the situation that you're in is not too respectable, maybe she would be free now. Maybe she would be back in the States now. But like I said, they do things different in the United Arab Emirates. No, I don't agree with it. That's why you will never see me in Dubai, because I don't agree with their laws over there. I don't agree with how they disrespect women. X said he reached out to the Dubai consulate and American consulate, as well as the U.S. and UAE embassies for assistance, but has not received any response. I remember back in 1994, there was a case that came up out of Singapore involving a teenager named Michael Fay. Michael Fay was in Singapore, and he and some other youths he was with, they were accused of vandalizing and damaging some vehicles. I think they said this had gone on for like a couple of weeks or something like that, and when he was finally caught and convicted, he was sentenced to six lashes with a cane. They call it caning. Of course, Bill Clinton got in on it and said, hey, y'all, don't do this. And they reduced it down to four lashings. Now, if I was the officials in Singapore, I was like, listen here, Bill Clinton, let me let you know something. Y'all do things different in your country. Here, you break these laws, this is the consequence. Now, do I agree with what happened to Michael Fay? You doggone Skippy. I think they need to bring caning over to the United States. Hey, we caught this 10-year-old kid throwing rocks at this house, broke the windows out. Okay, we're going to sentence him to caning. We're going to give him 10 lashes on it across his bare butt. No, he's just a baby. Well, if you had whooped him at home and taught him some manners and taught him not to do this type of thing, then we wouldn't have to do it ourselves. I think they need to bring caning to the U.S., be honest with you. Want to fight your teacher? Okay, come on, boy. Let's take you out. Let's take you out to the school's flagpole. And you know what they do in caning? They tie you to a pole. They tie your hands up above your head to a pole. And do they tie your feet down too? It would seem like they would, but I'm not sure. But they pull your pants down, where you inadvertently moon everybody who is there to witness your caning, and they get a professional martial artist to whoop your tail. Now you might think, oh, just caning. Oh, okay, that ain't no problem. I saw a demonstration of caning one time. And they say sometimes that caning can be so brutal that the victim cannot sit down for a couple of days. They say that's how brutal the caning is. And I saw how they did it. I was like, okay, yeah, uh-huh, yeah. I was like, yeah, they need to bring that to the U.S. Maybe teach it to some of these parents. This is how you whoop your children when they're disobedient. But people don't understand that when you go to another country, especially to a country that has a reputation for disliking the U.S., you can't go over there and just act out any old kind of way like you do in the U.S. See, in the U.S., you might get a slap on the wrist. Over there, you get jail time. And see, a lot of people, I blame this a lot on our society too, because we're always so, oh, Islamophobia. We can't be so harsh on the only reason why you're harsh on the Muslims is because you got Islamophobia. Go over there and tell me, Hey, Julad or whatever their name is. Hey, I've been taking up for you all over there in the U.S. I've been looking out for you. I've been speaking out for you guys, and you and I on the same boat. And he'll be like, you ain't on the same boat with me. You're still a citizen of the great Satan. And that's what I tell people, when you sit here and you try to kiss someone else's tail and let them know, oh, we're on your side, brother. You know, like these guilty white folks, you know, they want to kiss black tail. Oh, we're not racist. Oh, look at me. I am marching with Dr. King. Oh, I am marching with this black person. Oh, we love you black people. But at the end of the day, them black folk going to look at you and say, you're still a white person. That's why I tell people you need to stick up for your guns, because, you know, if you try this join them because you can't beat them type of mentality, it's not going to gain you any favors with anyone. You go out there as a white person, go in some of these crime-ridden areas, be like, oh, my black brothers, hey, I love you guys. They'd be like, okay, that's cool. While you're at it, click, click. Give me your watch. Give me your jewelry. Give me all your money. How much some shoes cost? $800? I want them shoes. How much your toupee cost? $200? I want that toupee too. It's not gaining you any favors by you, you know, trying to patronize somebody else. And that's what basically we have done in this country. And a lot of people, they go over there, they do something stupid, and then those of us over here, we cry, oh, why'd you all do that? Why you do that? That's their country. Now, if you're ignorant to their laws, that's your fault. Like I said, you might disagree with their laws, but if you're not aware of what their laws are and you meet the result, hey, that was your ignorance. You know, in some countries, and I actually asked a Hispanic this one time, in countries like Mexico and Central and South America, if you tell a person, you know how people wave their finger to tell someone to come here? Like, come here, come here. They say in those countries, they see that as an offensive gesture. Almost, it's akin to flicking your middle finger. You can't go over to any country and act out like you do here in the U.S. You got to know their laws. And if you don't agree with their laws, you'd be best staying here in this country. Well, I just on over there on vacation. Well, if you're going over there on vacation, you need to know how to conduct yourself in another country, because they're not going to take for it. They're not going to take it over there. And you got this lawyer, what's his name again? Quanell X. Who's willing to agree with me or bet me that Quanell X is one of these apostles of blackness, always talking about the evils of the white man? But now he's talking about the evils of that country over there. I mean, really. Says, here's the latest. Carly Russell fired from a spa job. Co-workers pissed about increasingly. Oh, okay. And yeah, I am too. And everyone has a right to question what happened to Carly Russell. Everybody has a right to question what happened to Carly Russell. And the opinion you form about her, it might be wrong, it could be, but it doesn't mean you don't have the right. It doesn't mean you don't have the right to an opinion. And folks want to know the answer. They want to know what happened. And this girl in from Houston in the United Arab Emirates, you know, she wants to go out there, show off her bodegas, and get in the face of someone in a country that she is not familiar with. And now everyone over here is crying, why'd they do that to her? Why'd they do that? Because she disobeyed their law. She disobeyed their law. And now she's meeting the consequences. And chances are she might not get off as well as Brittany Griner did. I hope nothing happens to the girl over there. And folks, if I sound unsympathetic to this girl over there, that does not mean that I wish any harm comes to her. You know, a lot of times when you don't show sympathy, people take that to mean that, you know, you wish something bad happened to her. I hope nothing bad happens to her. I hope, you know, I really do hope that she's let go and she's freed and brought home to the U.S. Maybe that'll be a good lesson for her. But in the meantime, I really don't have a lot of sympathy for her. I'm sorry. I really don't. And she was probably one of them types over here in the U.S. talking about Black Lives Matter and the evils of the white man and all this and everything. Now, ain't no white people holding her against her will now. You know, she feels like she's been wrong. Her mama feels like she's been wrong. And they had that same response, you know, like if one of their children got shot and killed by a cop, they had that same response. And it lets you know this it got nothing to do with the white man. I don't know, some bonehead might say, you know, the reason why the United Arab Emirates are like that because they've been influenced by white folks. I wouldn't be surprised if someone came out with a theory like that. I would not be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised one bit. But, you know, this political correctness and everything that we indulge in over in this country, it's going to get a lot of us hurt or even worse when we go to another country. You sit there and praise the religion of Islam all you want to. When you go over there, you're just another American to them. They don't care how much you try to patronize them or anything. They don't care about that. Anyway, we're almost at the end of the first hour. And like I said earlier, I did this show later because my wife and I, we had purchased a new stove, and, you know, they delivered our stove and whatever. I said, I'm still going to have a show today. If it's later, it's just going to be later. I really wanted to do it earlier today, but, you know, I kind of overslept this morning. My wife got up and she was like, you know, hey, you're going to make me breakfast today. And I just bought a new waffle iron and all that. And I was like, okay, I guess I'm going to make her breakfast, you know, and made her breakfast, made myself some breakfast, sat down, got some things done, you know, and had to wait for the delivery guys from Best Buy, because that's where we got our stove from, Best Buy. And we got it delivered. My wife is cooking on it right now. You know, stove works real good. And the stove we had replaced, it was when we first moved into this apartment back in 2005, not long after we had gotten married, and nothing worked. The refrigerator, the stove, our landlords, because we got new landlords now, but our landlords then, they got us a new stove and a new refrigerator. The refrigerator died about 4 or 5 years ago. And this stove, it was acting all iffy and everything, you know, because the stove was 18 years old. And my wife and I, we said, now, ain't it funny? Because some of the elements in the oven, they weren't working like they should. You know, like the top element wouldn't work, the bottom element wouldn't work. We called the landlord, and he was like, I've never seen a stove like this before. So we're like, okay, this stove ain't going to get fixed by him. You know, but my wife and I said it was kind of funny, you know, when we started looking at a new stove and bought this new stove, all of a sudden our old stove act like it wants to work now. And I'm sitting there like, nah. So we got a new stove and whatever, so. And that's why I did the show later today. But I didn't have to relate that piece of information to you. But, you know, I figured why not, you know. But anyway, we're at the top of the first hour. We're about to end the first hour. So let me get here, do the advertisements, and then I will see you on the other side. You are listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Many of our veterans deal with significant personal issues on a daily basis. These can include any combination of combat-related, medical, or psychological issues, as well as stress from transitioning out of a highly structured environment. It is our hope that through our familiarity with these struggles, we can use our experiences and connections to help these vets move forward in a positive direction and enjoy a fulfilled life. Our vision is to put an end to homelessness and suicide that seems to be prevalent among our veterans. Our mission is to remember, honor, and serve our veterans and their families. Who we are is warriors serving warriors, and we are comprised of veterans of our U.S. military with a variety of backgrounds and professions. Although we are a veterans group of Legacy Church here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, we accept vets from other churches and denominations. What we do is actively seek veterans who would like to be a part of our elite Christian group and share our desires to help and equip other veterans who are in need of assistance. We help other veterans who are in need of assistance with their transition to civilian life or have spiritual, physical, or emotional needs. We are currently proudly serving veterans in the Albuquerque metro area with future plans of expanding throughout the whole state of New Mexico. We meet every month to execute and strategically plan to reach our veteran community with the slogan, No Man Left Behind, giving them direction and or referring them to someone that can help them better their lives. If you know someone or are a vet yourselves, give us a call at 505-302-1999 or go to warriorservingwarriors.org. You can also email us at wswnmvets@gmail.com. That's Warriors Serving Warriors. Give us a call or join today. Well, in the storm of any unplanned event, it is always best to gather all the information you can before planning your route. That is where CareNet Pregnancy Centers of Albuquerque come in. Our services include pregnancy testing, ultrasounds, STI testing, education, and after-abortion care. What most people do not realize is this. Men are involved in this too. A large percentage of all abortions are perpetuated by the father of the baby. And we have female and male advocates at each center to meet and talk with those who come to our centers with questions. You can contact any of our centers here in Albuquerque for further information. There are two, with our Northeast office at 505-880-0862 and our Southwest office at 505-360-0090. Outside of Albuquerque are Edgewood at 505-281-5408, Rio Rancho at 505-896-2305, and Los Lunas also at 505-565-3838. That's CareNet of Albuquerque, where help is always there for those storms that are always just around the corner.
Back to the show. We're at the top of the second hour, and if you'd like to be a guest to call into the show, the number is 646-478-5284. And first hour ended, I was talking about these two cases of these black girls, one named Carly Russell, whose story is unraveling by the minute. And this Houston truck driver, you know, who got detained for screaming in Dubai, you know, and I gave my thoughts on it and everything. And if you disagree with me, that's fine. But that's just how I feel about both stories. But I wanted to touch on another one before I go to the phones. And a controversy came up this week. I have never heard of this man named Jason Aldean. He's a country singer, and he's being banned on some platforms because of his song called Try That in a Small Town. And he's being banned because they're saying his lyrics are very violent, and, you know, they said they talk about lynching folks and everything. And I'm like, I don't see it. I think the only thing I have about his song, it does have a bit of profanity in it. But overall, I don't see why anyone has a problem with this song. I really don't. Starts up, sucker punch somebody on a sidewalk, carjack an old lady at a red light, pull a gun on the owner of a liquor store, you think it's cool, well, act a fool if you like, cuss out a cop, spit in his face, stomp on the flag and light it up, yeah, you think you're tough, well, try that in a small town, see how far you make it down the road, around here we take care of our own, you cross that line, it won't take long, for you to find out, I recommend you don't try that in a small town. Now, I don't see anything offensive in that in those lyrics. I really don't. Basically, he's saying, yeah, go ahead and try to punch someone on the sidewalk. Try to carjack an old lady at a red light. We don't play that here. That's basically what the song is saying. But of course, because we're politically divided in this country, and this song is basically by a person who agrees with conservatism, of course, those on the left got to find a problem with it. Now, I do see a four-letter expletive in this song. You know, like I said, that's the only thing I find offensive in the song. But hey, let's compare that to this song by Cardi B called WAP. And, you know, earlier this year, I think it was earlier this year or later last year, you know, some people, they were talking about this song, WAP, 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 WAP. And me and my naivete said, what is this WAP? And I knew that it was capitalized W, capitalized A, capitalized P. I knew it stood for something. And I said, let me check out what this WAP is. And when I found out what it meant, well, let's just say I had to wash my eyes out. I regretted ever looking to find out what WAP meant. And let's see. Let me see if I can read these lyrics. No, I cannot read these lyrics at all. At all. She even has the N-word in here. But nobody finds anything offensive about that. I mean, this song is, if you are a parent out there, I'm just going to say it right now. I'm just going to say it right now. If you are a parent out there, I don't care if you're listening live or in the archives. If you are a parent and your little girl is listening to Cardi B, you need your parent card taken away from you. Someone needs to take you into the woods, hang you by the legs, and beat you like a pinata. And how people don't find WAP offensive, but they find Try That in a Small Town offensive. I really don't get where people's mentalities are these days. But you know, the Bible says, you know, cursed are those who call right wrong and wrong right, who replace sweet with bitter. Now, looking at Jason Aldean's song, if he would take out that one expletive, because I only see one expletive in his song. If he takes out that expletive, I'd be like, okay, that's a pretty decent song. But it has no, it pales in comparison to Cardi B. And Cardi B is someone that people admire. I'm guaranteeing you, a lot of little girls in this country are listening to Cardi B, and the parents let them do it. I remember Michelle Obama saying that Beyonce would be a good role model for her girls. But we admire Michelle Obama. Oh, she's so glamorous. She's not a good mother, I'll say that. At one time, I was saying that Barack Obama and Michelle, they were probably good parents. I don't agree with everything. But if you call Beyonce a good role model for your girls, nah, you ain't good parents. You're not good parents. But I just wanted to say that, you know, this is how mixed up this country is now. Political correctness and, you know, racism and all that crazy mess. And basically, it's like choose a side, whether your side believes a lie or not. Choose a side. The side you stand on, I don't care how many lies they tell, you stand for your side. If you go to the other side, you are a traitor. And this is the world we find ourselves living in, so full of fruit bats. That's the fruit bat alert. Y'all know what that means. I'm about to go to the phones and just to give you a little word of warning. If you didn't hear it in the introduction to this program, excuse me, if you want to indulge in excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, gaslighting, just coming on, disrupting the show, I come to the phones and you indulge in that type of activity, I guarantee you your visit on this program will be very short-lived. I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Let's have an adult conversation when you come on to this program. Having said all that, let me go to the phones, get this caller here.
Hey, Vincent.
Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
I had a contract at 6 o'clock, six figures. I called him up and broke it.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, I called him up and broke it. Hey, but you know, you really commented on some very good things. First of all, I want to say hello to Irons. Yeah, I know he's Ironsdale. I know he's out there listening. But this Russell woman, you know what they was trying to do, don't you? They're trying to implement white supremacy in Alabama.
Oh,
that's what they was hoping.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's what they was hoping.
Mm-hmm.
They was hoping that they could be able to implement white supremacy in Alabama. And especially after the court said that Alabama need to create another all-black district, voting district.
Yeah.
But guess what? The governor, she said, go to hell. We ain't doing it. And they created a district like they wanted to and got the right to do. So that's what states got to do. I got to tell the courts, go to hell. We're not violating nobody's civil rights for another civil right. Courts can do that. Courts can't do that. They don't make laws.
That's right.
When it comes down to voting district, that's the state's responsibility, not the federal government. Like Clarence Thomas said, that's why they don't like it.
Yeah.
And I'm gonna keep
exactly.
it short. I'm gonna keep it short because you done a good job, this I really did. And you know, you make mention of this lady over in Dubai. See. That's that country's law. They do what they want to do.
Yep.
And see, what they need to do is cane her butt. You surely couldn't miss it, right?
Well, I mean, you couldn't miss anything else on her.
Yeah, they need to publicly cane her for disrespect. And, you know, it was a time over in Egypt with some American females. Was going in and out of temples and tombs, inappropriately dressed. They had Daisy Dukes on, I heard, or Daisy Duke shorts.
Wow.
Well, they are no more. Someone helped them to be able to ventilate, gave them bigger orifices, in doing so.
Wow.
But that's those countries, man. You know, you think about this. You know, people say you ain't supposed to, you're not supposed to use that type of punishment on your kids. Well, and put them in time out and all that silly stuff.
Yeah.
So why are you going? You're disrespecting the Biden. I don't care what you say. That's their country. Live it how they want to.
Yeah.
Is this the way you're going to act if you go to Mars and some Martians show up and ask you what you're doing camping out on our land, our planet? You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, yeah. And I agree with you. You know, I remember, you know, when I was growing up, we had time out, too. That was the time that our parents took out to whoop our behinds. You know, that was our time out. So, but,
and
you know,
I don't
getting
blame.
Back to our talk.
I don't blame African societies for doing what they do to the clitoris of their young girl. That's their business. That's what the parents want to do. That's their business. They've been doing it for eons. But guess what? Guess what? I was reading an article, I think it said in Dallas, syphilis is up like over 128%. Holy cow. Syphilis.
In Dallas?
Yeah.
Oh,
someplace over there in Texas, man. And it's also high in Louisiana.
Mm.
In certain parts, you know what I'm trying to say.
Yeah. I remember Atlanta had a high incidence of syphilis. Yeah.
And the thing about that disease, you don't know if you got it. And it can lay and hide out in your body for decades.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, you with some unsuspected romance, and boom, now they got syphilis.
Yeah.
So wouldn't it be more appropriate to worry about what's going on in your own damn house rather than trying to go elsewhere in the world and try to dictate to them? It just doesn't make any sense, man. It just doesn't make any sense. The same way they're doing with DeSantis down there. When you have all these concerns, when DeSantis said the slaves profited from slavery. What's your opinion on that? I already shared it with you.
I don't think the slaves really profited from it, so to speak. I know how people will take it when he says something like that. I don't think that's what he means about, you know, about
now,
slavery.
Let me say this, he was right. Slaves did profit from slavery. See, when people hear these things, they don't think, how did slaves buy their loved ones? Slaves had business even though they were slaves, right?
True.
I give you one. A man by the name of Patterson, C.R. Patterson. What he learned in slavery helped him to come out and partner with he was a blacksmith. He came out and partnered with a white man. And he made the first black car called the Patterson. Even started doing production before Henry Ford did. And he was enslaved. So will you not say that he profited? It was called the Lindsay. His son came and took over the business.
Will you look at this? Oh, my goodness. C.R. Patterson, the first black-owned car company. Oh, my goodness. But look at this.
Yeah, and read about him. He was enslaved. And
oh,
see,
my
his...
gosh. You know what? You learn something new every day. I never heard of this cat until you just told me.
Well, I thought everybody knew about that. I did.
I did not know about this.
Arzell know about it. And he was enslaved, right? And tell what to say, he was enslaved. How else did he to learn the business? He didn't learn it coming from Africa. They weren't building cars in Africa. They learned that stuff when they got here. Learned it from white.
Yeah.
And they was in all sorts of business.
Virginia.
Yes, he was in.
Oh, my goodness. Will you look at this? Yeah, he's a native Virginia. I was born in Virginia.
14, the names, I just mentioned these names because they should be recognizable because you have it back.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I think what I'm going to start doing, I think what I'm going to start doing is writing these names down and, you know, just studying these guys, you know, because.
Go to Washington Post. Go to Washington Post Facebook page and tell them DeSantis is right. Sharpton going down to Tallahassee, staging a goddamn rally, talking about they trying to eliminate black history. See, you really don't want to bring in black history the way it is.
Yeah.
And what did Booker T. Washington, what did Booker T. Washington say about that particular Negro? They don't never publish that.
Yeah, they
talk about
they always want to keep the, they always want to keep the grievances in the faces of everyone because they don't want to lose their jobs because it pays, you know. I can't say it verbatim, but I seen the quote, and you know, he said these people, they always want to keep the fires burning, you know, the fires burning down, and then they want to stoke it up again because it pays them. That's the only reason why Al Sharpton's going down there.
Well, he went down there earlier. I don't know if he's going down again, but that state and those school districts right to have what the hell they want in their district for their kids. And if you don't think that they should be having that right, then give the parents choice with vouchers so they can put their child where they want their child to be. Oh, no, you can't do that. You can't take that black child, your smart, well-prepared black child out of this school because the scores will go down, and we will look better than what we look.
That's what, yep. and keep in mind, too, you know, the schools can't teach everything. That's the thing that gets me when people say, oh, they don't want black history. They don't. No, if you busted into someone's house and you told them, they can't teach black history in their own house. Now you might have a story then, but no one is telling your child they can't learn black history. If they're not being taught black history in the school, what's stopping the parents from teaching it to them?
Yeah, then they always want to mention that they don't talk about black inventors, but you can't talk about black inventors if you don't talk about whites, because the things
Man,
that they
I'm
use to perfect their invention, they had to use implementation that was made by who?
White folks.
Yeah.
Man, I tell you, good grace, I got me a history lesson today. This has never been taught to me. My parents never taught it to me, never learned it in schools. I mean, it's like, man, I'm looking at this dude. Look at that picture. My goodness, look at him. With that car, man, I tell you, you know, and I tell people this, the older I get, the more I realize how much I don't know.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, really, I, you know.
And look at the black that own the bus company, man, that outdone the whites. White company Duke couldn't keep up with them. It was called Safe Bus Company, SAFE. Look at that. SAFE Bus Company. They had over 500 buses. They not only served the black community, they served the white community. But what was peculiar about this bus company? Oh, baby. During the boycott leading up to the bus boycott in Birmingham, in Alabama, you had members of that boycott, and I think it was Shuttlesworth. But I know it was Nixon. Nixon's grandson, a friend of mine, he lives in Chicago. Lionel Nixon. Nixon wanted to go to Winston-Salem, North Carolina, and talk to the Safe Bus Company about bringing buses over to Alabama, where they could serve the black community. That's what the buses was doing. It was serving the black community. And really, they didn't care if they did boycott because the buses continued to serve the white community. Actually, it was Arthur P. Sloan who was the president of General Motors, and the bus line was a national city line, which was owned by General Motors. And General Motors, Firestone, Standard Oil, they wanted Eisenhower to build the international interstate highway system. He built it under the pretension that it was going to be a military use, but actually we use it today. And being that we use it today in cars that have tires, cars that have gasoline, right?
Mm-hmm.
And cars that was made by General Motors, it gets to use it. But check out Safe Bus Company and read up on
it. Yeah, I'm looking at it right
now. I know you know that.
I'm reading. No, I don't. And I live 90 miles from Winston-Salem.
Oh, man, come on now.
I got family in Winston-Salem. None of them ever talks about this.
You mean to tell me you don't know about that, Vincent?
I never heard of it.
Lord have mercy. Lord have mercy. God bless your soul. One of your cousins, she in the chat room. Does she know about that?
She probably does. Yeah, Retta probably knows because Retta's
smart
as a whip.
Retta, you know about that? Tell him. But I don't.
Yeah, Retta
but you see what I'm talking about? They could have. They wanted to ride whose buses? They wanted to ride the white man bus. That's usually mm-hmm. where it is. All
yep.
this talk thing will lead. Just like they did with Rosa Parks. They talk about Rosa Parks all the time. And in that same damn town, Rosa Parks used to stand at the bus stop. And Rosa Parks was part either German or Italian. I can't remember.
Yeah.
And the bus was not stopped. So it was a white woman that got off her porch, went over to the bus stop and stood. So the bus was stopped, and she let Rosa Parks get on. Nobody, you knew that story too, didn't you?
I'd never heard that story.
Oh, my goodness.
I've never heard.
Well, let me try one more.
I do know that.
Let me try one more. You get there, I got you good. Do Rosa Parks' house in Detroit. Rosa Parks' house in Detroit, you know when she left the South because nobody would hire her. And she went up north to Detroit, and she stayed in a house up there. It became her house. And, of course, she's dead and gone. And just like everything else, seemingly in Detroit, seemingly now, it became under condemnation, back taxes, and so forth. And they were going to tear it down. So I think it was her niece, and I can't think of her name. Eleanor might have been, I don't know. She paid $500. Then she sold it to this white man. It's German. And I can't think of his name. But he went to the Detroit City Council, which was all black, and tried to get them to expend funds toward fixing up the house. You know, the same type of program that's going on in Evanston, Illinois, where they call it reparation. You heard about that, haven't you?
Oh,
huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep.
They call it reparation, but all they're basically doing is coming up with some way to give residents money to fix up their house. There ain't no reparation. They
yeah,
do that all
that,
over.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
But Detroit City Council, which is all black, they wouldn't do that with Rosa Parks' house. So guess what? This white man, he disassembled the house, put it in a container, shipped it over to Berlin, reassembled it with the help of other whites in Berlin, and rejuvenated, he's done a nice job. And right now, after being there and Berlin for a while, it went to Naples, Italy. It's where it is now, presently. If I understand.
That's where it is. Yep.
In Naples,
that's
Italy.
And that's a shame.
It's at the palace, right? It's at the palace, yeah. This is white people doing this stuff. And blacks
exactly.
like to talk about ill treatment to these Rosa Parks and Emmett Till. I ain't going to talk about that. But that's whites. That ain't whites doing that. That's blacks doing that. Are not doing what they should be doing.
Exactly.
All they do is talk, and then they want whites to straighten it out. Now I'm gonna get off of here. Well, Sarge probably got something to say in Irondale. I'm gonna let them have it. I'll talk to you later.
Well, you're the only one that's on here. So, and it's amazing that you brought that up, because we've all heard about the inner quarrels that the Martin Luther King Jr.'s siblings have been having, and the memorial where their father was buried. They didn't even want to take
they
that
don't
up.
Cut
they
the
didn't,
grass.
You know, yeah, yeah. And they over there, you know, doing the infighting and everything. We sit here, we talking about, oh yeah, the King family this and the King family that, and these guys arguing like cats and dogs over, you know, Martin Luther King's legacy. And it's like, you know, y'all sit here, y'all talk about this black stuff all the time,
even
and
his
then
Bible,
you know,
man.
Here y'all.
Even his
yeah.
Bible.
I mean, for real.
They want to make money off the Bible.
Yeah. It's like, man, what in the world? You know, what
and
kind
you
of
know
world?
What?
I mean.
None of his kids have babies. So when they die, he dies again.
Wait a minute. None of them had children?
Vincent, you didn't know that?
I thought
and
they had children.
What school you go to?
I'm telling you.
I'm coming over there, and you going down to that school, and we getting your money back, man.
I am deeply ashamed. I have gone to a public school. and let me tell you, the school I went to here in Durham, North Carolina, HBCU, called North Carolina Central University.
Oh, shit.
They never taught us
well,
this.
You need to go
they
back and get your money
us.
Back. You need to go get your money back.
They never taught us that.
You could have used that money to pay on that stove.
I could have bought a lot of stoves with that money.
Sure could have. And food in the refrigerator to cook it off. But anyway. That's the way it is. See, they tell these stories and they buy it. If somebody like me come along who's black, they hate me, man. Ooh-wee. Well, you can see the bullets coming out of their eyes.
Yeah, I know. Because you do is upset the apple cart. That's what you do. You upset the apple cart.
I kicked that damn apple cart over. And have you ever heard me talk hate, Vincent? Huh? Have you ever heard me talk, preach, or expel hate?
Nope, never did.
All I do is tell the truth.
Tell the truth. That's all that we're owed, is that the truth be told to us. But when you tell the truth, some people, they're like, oh, that ain't the truth. That ain't the truth. It cramps a lot of people's style, you know, and because it's not, you know, along the lines of what they're used to. You know, we're so used to hearing about certain figures in history and whatever, and we hear about it constantly. But then someone brings up, hey, have you heard about this person? Have you heard about this person?
They throw
half
lies out there, Vincent. Half lies. Yeah. It's what they do.
Yeah.
They don't want to tell the whole story, because then their foundation just falls apart.
Exactly.
Like you seem like the root, the shit, the stuff they was trying to pull, it falls apart.
Yeah.
Root ain't got no business, and the root is owned by a white male, by the way.
Yeah.
But
exactly. No business. He see, that's the thing, you know. BET is owned by white folks.
Mm-hmm. I think they might. I think Madea and them might have bought that back. I think. I'm not sure.
Okay. But when they started out, they were owned by white people. Yeah.
Yeah. You're exactly right, Vincent. See, but you got to just tear this stuff down, man. Look at the lies they told on Donald Trump. And all the stuff that Donald Trump has done for people, including black people. My goodness.
Still doing it.
They just lie.
And my wife was saying the other day, she said, he's just one man. Just one man got these people acting like that. I said, yeah, sweetie, that's how they do when it comes to politics and everything. You know, one person can just come in and mess up everything, and they're like, oh, we can't have this guy ruling over us. We can't he can't win this next election. You know, they said if the election were held today, Donald Trump would win.
Well, see, here's the thing. You remember the story when John the Baptist was in there, he was baptizing people. Remember that story? What did he tell people? What did he tell them? Every person we said that he's saying, you know what he's, what did he tell the people, Vince?
He said, there's someone coming after me who's shoe latching. I am not worthy to unloose. And he told the religious folks of that day, he said, you know, you brood of vipers, who has warned you about the wrath to come? You know, but he talked
That's
about
right.
Jesus. He said, Jesus is coming.
He said,
and I'm not even worthy to
water. I baptize you with water, but another will come that will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. Good gracious.
And fire. Yeah, yeah.
And soon on this, after he got through with one, he turned around and looked up, and guess what he saw?
There's Jesus.
There was Jesus. So that's what's going on now. That man is divine intervention. Has to be. You know, took everything the devil could throw at him.
Yeah, yeah.
They took him up to the mountain and said, if you just bow down to me, if you just don't run. This is all you can have.
Mm-hmm.
See, I know this story too.
Yeah,
but anyway, I'm going to let you get on with your program, man. I'm sure you got something to talk about.
Okay. I appreciate it, Pyong. Man, that information you just gave me, though, oh, man. Yes, I feel ashamed. I am ashamed to be a black person. Oh, my
God. But
goodness.
I'm telling you, I'm for real now. Hey, we can go down there and get that money from that school because they miseducated you. I testify. and the whole heart of fruit bat. We'll go down there and havoc them.
probably have to go to the schools that I grew up in too, the elementary, the middle, the high school, because you know a lot of this wasn't taught. But
you have a whole sack of money coming back in return, man. All right, I'll talk to you later.
All right now. Yeah, I never heard of C.R. Patterson, folks. I have never heard of this person. Wow. And I'm sitting here looking at this. He was born in 1833. He died in 1910. And he founded a company called C.R. Patterson and Sons. And he was born in Virginia. He learned blacksmithing. He learned blacksmithing. And to Pianki's point, you know, I was saying, you know, slavery didn't, you know, benefit black folks, but it did because they learned the tools of the trade through slavery. And so when slavery ended, a lot of them, they could start their own businesses and everything. Of course, for a lot of slaves, it was like, you know, no man's land. They were in limbo, but a lot of them took what they learned through slavery and they used that to create their own businesses, you know? So, I mean, a lot of times we think that what we're going through is bad and whatever. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, God will take your bad and turn it into your good. And we're all familiar with the phrase, a blessing in disguise. That's what slavery was to a lot of people. But, you know, you don't dare say that to some people today because they sit there and say, oh, you want slavery to come back. And, you know, some years ago, Michelle Bachmann, she made a statement about, you know, families were closer. You know, they were stronger during the times of slavery, and people wanted to turn that around and say, oh, she wants slavery to come back, without realizing, first of all, slavery in this country is not going to come back. Okay, that's the first thing. And of course, she was a conservative Republican and everything, and so, you know, they automatically assumed that that's what she meant. That's the same thing they're doing to Donald Trump right now. You know, he'll say there are good people on both sides of the debate, but they think he's saying, white supremacists are good people too. And there is proof, there is footage that Donald Trump did not say that. Donald Trump said, you know, I'm not talking about the white supremacists. I'm not talking about the KKK, you know. He said, but with the exception of those two groups, they're good people on both sides. And he was talking about both sides. He said they're good people on both sides. He wasn't trying to dog whistle for the white supremacists. But if you call yourself a conservative Republican, you know, and you make a statement like that, you know, they find a way to twist your words to make it like, oh, okay, he supports white supremacy. That's not what Donald Trump was saying. Or Michelle Bachmann or anyone else. They're just saying that, hey, you know, even though we had a tough time, or I should stop saying we, but even though black folks had a tough time during slavery, there was some good you could get out of it, you know. I mean, yeah, it was hard labor and whatever, but whatever they learned during slavery, they used it to create businesses for themselves and to support their families. And black families were strong from the end of slavery until the 1960s when Lyndon Baines Johnson came up with his New Society. Was it Lyndon Baines Johnson, New Society? Sometimes I get New Society in that program that FDR implemented in the 1930s and the 1940s. But we had strong families up until the 1960s. Now, I'm not going to sit here and say that what Lyndon Baines Johnson enacted was done with the hopes that black families would be torn apart or anything like that, but it did lead to that. And Lyndon Baines Johnson is reported as saying, I'll have those N-words voting Democrat for the next 200 years. And here we are about 60 years after that. And who do black people vote for? And the sad thing about it is black folks don't see that they are being used. They don't see that they're being used. Whenever you see, you know, these guys coming out talking about, hey, you know, hey, black people, we care about you, you know, and all this, and you're number one and all this and everything. All they're trying to do is use us for votes. And see, I'm a person, I don't like being used. I've had on several occasions people take advantage of me. I have. You know, and it's not something that I'm proud to talk about, but I've been taken advantage of on several occasions, but I do not like being taken advantage of. And that's what the Democrat Party is doing to black folks, and black folks are too blind to even see it, to even understand that is what is going on. Every election cycle, this reparations thing. And just like Pianchi said, you know, going on in Evansville, I believe it's Indiana, all they're doing is, you know, helping them to, you know, repair their houses. And folks are like, ooh, we got reparations. Nah, that's not reparations. That's not reparations. And see, that's the problem. That's the problem with politics and people who are ignorant to their governments. The government can take a person's loaf of bread, crumble it up and sprinkle some crumbs on you, and you're like, oh, the government is helping us out. No, they're not. They're taking someone else's loaf of bread, they're crumbling it up, and they're just sprinkling you with the crumbs, and you think they're really doing something for you. And all they're trying to do is to do just enough to get your support so that they can win the next election. That's all they care about. They care about that power. They want that power. Hey, black folks, we're counting on you. We're counting on you to make sure we stay in office. We're counting on you. And they come out with their little promises and everything, and we sit here and we just, okay, yeah, I'll vote for him. And like I said, and I say this ad hominem or ad nauseum, excuse me. I say this ad nauseum on this program. The thing that bothers me the most are black folks who call themselves Christians who go along with this mess. That's the thing that bothers me more than anything. When you go to a typical black church, I guarantee you, 9 times out of 10, 90% of those people in that church, I don't care what they teach or whatever, I can almost guarantee you that 90% of the people in any given black church vote Democrat. Not only against their own interests, but against the Bible itself, against the very word of God, that they get up there and they say they preach. I just learned this guy in the church that I used to go to, he was one of my teachers. I just learned that he's been a Democrat since 1974. And not only that, The pastor of the church, he gets up there and he says, you know, the reason why y'all vote Democrat is because you don't have the Spirit of God in you. You don't have discerning and everything. But he ordains these people to become ministers. And I'm sitting there like, wait a minute. You're saying these people don't have the Spirit of God in them, but you ordain these people to become ministers and to preach the word, but they don't have the Spirit of God. I mean, what is it, preacher? This is why I don't, you know, when someone comes up, they say, you know, they're from a black church or something like that. You got to prove something to me. Because 9 times out of 10, their politics takes precedence over their Christianity. And that's why I've said that there are going to be a lot of black people who spend eternity in an eternally warm climate because they care more about their skin color, their politics, their civil rights, than they do about the word of God. If you would just stick to the word of God, that'll take care of everything. That'll take care of the racism and the civil rights and the politics. And that'll take care of everything. But no, we're going to be divided down this line just like the people in the world are. And people act like people are not noticing this stuff. They're not noticing what's going on. I'm like, dude, you're sitting here talking about saying that people who vote Democrat don't have the Spirit of God living in them, but then you will turn around and ordain these same people to be ministers. And not only that, some of these churches, these black churches, they're starting to adopt this black Hebrew Israelite garbage. You know, the black Hebrew Israelites, they believe that only black people are descendants of the children of Israel. We are the real nation of Israel. We're the real Hebrew Israelites. And they give you the list of the 12 tribes of Israel. And they say the 12 tribes of Israel, they are the ancestors of today's black race, and that if you are a black person, that you are a descendant of the nation of Israel. And they'll show you their list of the 12 tribes of Israel, and they'll show you, oh, this the tribe of Issachar, they led to this kind of people. The tribe of Judah, they led to this type of people. The tribe of Gad, the tribe of Issachar, the tribe of Reuben, the tribe of Simeon, you know. But they no white races in that bloodline, and that lets you know the hatred that a lot of black people have for white people. But they want to sit up there and talk about Jesus' love and all this and everything, but you don't have enough love for your white brethren. Jesus, when this world was formed and Jesus, and yes, Jesus created us, you know, I know a lot of people like Jesus and God are not the same. They are the same. But I'm not going to, you know, go into the details about that. But when Jesus created human beings on this earth and he created them black, white, and whatever, he didn't show preference towards a race. There was no racial preference. There's no racial preference in the Bible. Well, what about the Jews? You know, in the Old Testament, it's the Jews. That's not a race of people. That's not race. But he showed no preference for skin color. And they'll try to pull up certain scriptures in the Bible, say, oh, this, you know, this says that the Jews were black. No, it doesn't. Well, this scripture says that Jesus was black. No, it doesn't. And see, the Bible, Jesus, in the Bible, Jesus was rebuking the Pharisees, and he was saying, you blind guides who strain at a gnat but swallow a camel. You're straining at the gnat of skin color, but you're swallowing the camel of holiness. You're getting all caught up on the skin color, but you totally ignore what Jesus came to this earth to do. Totally ignore it. And like I said, sad to say, it's a lot of black people in these black churches. They overwhelmingly vote Democrat. The very party stood up against them back in the day. The very party that supports abortion, that supports Planned Parenthood, which the leader of Planned Parenthood wanted to eradicate the black races through her sterilization and eugenics program. But you vote against your own interests because, oh, the government's going to help me out. They're going to put some money in my pocket. A lot of people, when they go out here to vote, they vote their pocketbook. Their Christianity doesn't matter to them. Their belief system doesn't matter to them. They let their politics form their beliefs instead of their beliefs form their politics. And I listen to them, and I'm like, what are you doing? And they sit there, they talk about Trump. Oh, man, Donald Trump. Oh, but Trump ain't no Christian. Ah, he isn't. He isn't. Barack Obama ain't no Christian either. Bill Clinton ain't no Christian either. Jimmy Carter ain't no Christian either, even though Jimmy Carter always said, oh, I'm a Christian. No, he ain't no Christian. Nah, I'll never say that until I see some fruit in Donald Trump. I'll never say he's a Christian. But you know what? I'll vote for a Donald Trump before I vote for a Barack Obama. I'm not asking my world leaders. I'm not asking the leader of the United States or the president or whoever sits in the White House to be an actual Christian before I vote for him. Nah, that's silly. That would be nice. But if he supports biblical principles, see, you don't have to be a Christian to support biblical principles. But a lot of Christian folks, they go the way, you know, they sway along with the wind instead of bucking the trend and saying, you know what? I'm not just a Christian in word. I'm a Christian in deed. And I'm not voting for this person because this person doesn't support godly ideals. That's why a lot of people in black churches, they celebrated when Raphael Warnock beat out Herschel Walker. They would celebrate, oh, thank God for this man. a man who supports abortion. I'm telling you all, people. I'm telling you all. You have to stick to your guns. You got to stick to your guns. But sad, and see, that's why I do a show like this. That's why I do this show. Hopefully, I can get some black folks to look at what they're believing and say, "Whoa, wait a minute." I may never get someone say, "Vincent, I listened to you and I just changed my mind totally." I may never get that type of person, but you know what? That doesn't mean I'm going to stop saying what I do. I'm not going to sit there and say, "Well, ain't nobody listening, so I might as well not do this." Nah. You know, they say the prophet Jeremiah in the Bible, they say he was the worst evangelist of all time. You know why? Because he preached all them years, he didn't get one convert. Now, it wasn't because of his tactic or anything. He did what God told him to do. He spoke what God told him to speak. But whether people convert to your cause or not, if you know the truth, keep speaking the truth. That's what you do. And that's what I do. That's why I've been doing this more than 13 years now. I mean, you know, that's just how, you know, that's how it is, folks. That's how it is. Well, folks, I got a minute left in the show. Want to thank everybody for coming out. I see Duck Northwest Media has gone and Yahweh Kai, she's gone. I wanted to give them a shout out. I should have done that earlier. But next week, God willing, not unless something real big comes up, we should have another edition of Black by Color Only. So, you know, set your calendars and whatever. Get ready for next week. And we should have some more topics, current events on this program. And thank you all for coming out. Thank you all. Thank you for the people who support the show. Pianchi, you know, Sarge wasn't here today, but just want to thank you guys. Take care of yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all take care of yourselves.